is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
The things that you did, the plans you helped everyone forge, everything that you were saying, everything you were pouring in was causing them not to follow Christ, not to become more like Christ, but had nothing to do with Christ. You were darkness, but now you're light in Christ. You think differently, you see differently, you have a different goal, and that is to make someone Christ-like, to be heaven-bound. There's good things we can do in the world that are still dark. They're void of God. God's not involved in them at all. He has nothing to do with them. Not saying that God isn't in all things and around all things and influencing all things. What I mean is there's some things that we do that make no impact and mean nothing to the kingdom of heaven.
There are lots of good people in the world. Many of us probably considered ourselves good before we were saved. We were kind and helpful towards others. Perhaps we donated to charity and gave to the poor. As Pastor Troy explains in today's message, no matter how benevolent we were still in the dark. Our good deeds only brought glory to ourselves. Now, as believers, the same good deeds take on a whole new weight. They bring glory to God and aid in the spreading of His gospel. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. Paul's in the part of Ephesians now, after he has explained all of the riches that we have in Christ. Some of us, we love that portion of the scripture. So in the first part of Ephesians, you're in heaven. You're this, you're blessed. God no longer sees your sin, but you have the wealth of Christ in you. And it's just, give me more. It's like a retreat experience. More. Oh, I love the Bible. But he's transitioned also into the therefores. You have all of this, therefore, there's some walking to do. You got to apply this. You got to live this. Since you're wealthy, since you have all of this, since you've been forgiven, since you have the power to walk in Him, then now you need to do it. And so we've talked about, you know, having a new mind and walking in the new man, new ways. Last week, we talked about walking in love and how important that is. Truth, just piercing without love, is hard. However, love without truth is licensed to sin. It's liberty. It's just, you don't shine a light. And so we talk about light today. You are light in the Lord. To walk in right ways, you need to know what the right ways are, don't you? We all have our own opinions of what right and wrong is before Christ, especially. Even in Christ, if we don't study the scriptures, if we don't learn the scriptures, we end up not really having a good grasp of truth, right and wrong, what God sees is right and wrong, what His priorities in life are, how He says we should deal with sin. We don't really understand that. And so we come to our own conclusions and we balance it with the little scripture that we do know. Some of us favor the love side. Some of us favor the truth side. And we take that and our own experiences and our own feelings and our own things, and we bring all of that together, and that's our explanation, and that's what we pour into other people. And it's diluted truth. It's diluted love. It's filtered through a lot of us. So we need to, if we're going to walk in right ways, we need to know what right ways are according to the scriptures. So we're to look to Christ, who Himself said He is the light of the world. We look to Him. When we look to Him and follow Him, we begin to walk as light. Not because I'm light, but because He is light. And when I look like Him, I reflect His light. When He calls us to be lights, you are the light of the world, that light is not a source light. He is the source light. I am the light of the world, bigger light than ours. Because you go, well, later on He says, you are the light of the world. Does that make us equal? Now we're here, little Jesus representing him. But that's not what he says at all. He says, I am the light. I'm the source light. You are the reflective light. You, as you walk in me, only as you walk in me, then you become a reflection of me, a reflective light. You are the light of the world. Who else is going to reflect him in this world? So we need to look to him who is the light of the world. So you are light in the Lord. We begin verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Now, in verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The word all is suggesting these aren't three things here that some have. My fruit is righteousness. Not mine. No, in all, these are the fruits of the Spirit. Goodness, righteousness, truth. These are things that should apply to all believers, all who are walking in him. So the first thing we want to talk about is the fact that we should walk in light. We should walk in light as Christians. Paul didn't say we were once in darkness. He said we were once darkness. And it has to do with not just walking as some lost person does. That's what a person in darkness does, right? You're feeling your way around. You're lost. You're in darkness. So when I'm in darkness, I'm lost. But when I am darkness, I mislead people too. That's the point here. You were once darkness. Void of the light, you reflected darkness in the world. The things that you did, the plans you helped everyone forge, everything that you were saying, everything you were pouring in was causing them not to follow Christ, not to become more like Christ, but had nothing to do with Christ. You were darkness, but now you're light in Christ. You think differently, you see differently, you have a different goal, and that is to make someone Christ-like, to be heaven-bound. There's good things we can do in the world that are still dark. They're void of God. God's not involved in them at all. He has nothing to do with them. Not saying that God isn't in all things and around all things and influencing all things. What I mean is there's some things that we do that make no impact and mean nothing to the kingdom of heaven. That's void of the light. That's darkness. It has more to do not only with how you walked, but how you influenced. You were once darkness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That was Jesus's desire. Walk in that way. Let them so shine. Don't just be a little light running around when really you're not doing anything for the kingdom of heaven, but point people to Christ. Let my light reflect in you so that when they see your good deeds, they think about God. They consider him. They glorify that he is, rather than your light shines, but no one ever thinks about God as a result of that light, because it has nothing to do with the Lord. It doesn't shine his light. You know, it's impossible to be light and darkness at the same time. The darkness is no longer darkness when the light shines. The darkness is simply the absence of light. And those who want to be in the darkness and don't want the light to shine, those who don't like conviction, sometimes those who really speak judgmentally about judgments, you know, don't judge, brother, don't judge. And they get into this very anti-judgmental state of mind when the scriptures clearly teach us not to be judgmental, but to make righteous judgments, to judge. Is so many don't like to have the light shone on something in them that isn't right. They don't like it. Well, I mean, who does? I don't like it either. We're still all sinners. And there's some, when I'm around them and I see their life, I'm convicted just by seeing their life. I go, wow, I need to do a better job in that area. They don't even have to say anything to me. They don't even have to know anything about me. They don't have to go, you are in sin. I know this about you. They don't have to do that. They just live. And as I'm around them, those who are growing spiritually, there's just a conviction. And it speaks very loud and clear. That's the kind of light we're to be. And those who don't want their sin exposed, don't want to change, they want to be stuck in their own ways, they don't like when a light shines on them. They don't like it. John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, speaking about the evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. To walk as children of light means to live in such a way that we're not hiding anything. We're able to be totally open and honest because the light is on us. Have you ever walked into a room with a black light? You know, the little purple light, you walk in and everything white is the only thing you see, or fluorescent colors, you can see those. And you can see all the dust on your skin. You go, whoa, man, look, I'm filthy. Well, that's what the light of Christ does. It's like being in a black light, boom. Like, oh, man, I'm filthy. Yeah, but don't beat yourself over it. There's two reactions. One is, I got to get out of the light. Whoa. The other is, man, this is the reality of it, and I need to deal with this. That's the one who desires truth, the one who wants to walk in truth. Those who want to walk in truth are those who walk in the light, as he is in the light. So to walk as children of light means to live before the eyes of God, not hiding anything, that everything is seen and exposed. Everything is as if it's under the spotlight. It's visible. You know, it's easy to hide things from people, isn't it? Yeah. What we really mean when we say something, what we really wanted to happen as a result of our actions, nobody really knows. We can look really good doing bad things or selfish things, but God knows. See, people can't see our hearts and minds. We can convince them. That's why some people like to talk to others. They like to talk. I like to be around and talk because I feel like if I can talk to a lot of people, I can convince them. Because inside, there's some things that need to be dealt with, honestly. God sees all of that. And someone who lives in truth lives like he is exposed. And like everything he doesn't want to have to hide from anyone. I want to be able to be open and honest and real and true.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. That's what a Christian ought to be. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." One day it'll be before the Lord that we give an account, not to the pastor, not to the person sitting next to us, not even to our spouse, but to the Lord for every idle word, everything that we do and why we did it. And the thing is, we won't be able to talk him out of, you know, trying to see it our way, talk him into seeing it our way, because he knows. There's sin that as we get closer to the Lord, it starts to come out. It starts to become visible. It wasn't even visible to us until we got closer to the Lord. And that's the harsh truth, the harsh reality of growing in the Lord, is that we begin to see more that is wrong with us, more that needs to be dealt with. You know, when I go to the airport, I always have a little pocket knife with me. Let's just say, forget the airport part first. I always have a pocket knife with me. So it's just part of what I carry around all the time. So when I go to the airport, sometimes I forget I have that pocket knife with me. And it's a little one. I'm not going to do much damage, but it's not authorized. And so when I go and I get in line, sometimes I'm like, oh, man, I got this, and I'm about to be exposed. And so I'm going to go through the line, and I know what they're going to say. The first time I tried to reason with them, I was like, you know, I can't send it back. And because they say you can mail it back home if you want. No, take it. And so there I am, stuck and exposed. And though there's nothing wrong with carrying a pocket knife, it's very useful if dysfunctional in this world. In that same scenario, in that same type of illustration, we as Christians often walk around with things in our life that everyone else is okay with. Everyone, it's fine. It's no big deal. But when we start to come to a close proximity to the Lord, we go, oh no, I wonder if I shouldn't have this. Before, I never questioned it, but as I get close to the Lord, I start to go, I wonder, is it maybe not all that good? Is it? See, those are the kind of things that God does begin to deal with. And he asks us to please. He doesn't say, if you want to send it back to your house, you can do that. No, he says, look, this is not your home. Your home's in heaven. Is that going to heaven with you? Then don't send it to your home either. Get rid of it. Why hold on to it? Why keep it so you can run around only to try to get close to me again, have that come up again? Why would you do that? If you love me, do what I command. So walk in light, like the Lord is the one shining his light in every area of your life. Have nothing to hide, even from the God who sees all. Now contrast that with verses 11 and 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Second we'll talk about is avoid the night. You know, I've heard it said that nothing good really happens once the sun goes down. It's as if God provided light and darkness for a reason. And once darkness happens, we need to start re-energizing, getting some sleep, you know, getting our focus on the Lord and not turning on the lights that we generate now by our own electricity and ability so that we can extend our day and never sleep. We can burn the candle at both ends. And so we do lots of things, extra things. And I've heard it said that not much good happens, at least for the glory of God, once the sun goes down. Not only are we to walk in light, but we're to fellowship with those who are walking in the light. This helps us to grow in the Lord. Those who are not exactly like us, it helps us to grow in the Lord. But contrary to that, we're to avoid and have no fellowship with those who are walking in darkness and those who might be a bad influence, because their influence influences us. Things that dishonor the Lord, and even people who welcome those things and embrace those things, we have to begin to not hate them or even cast the first stone, but there's a separation that goes on as you grow in the Lord, and you want to put some of those things behind, lest two things happen. One, you fail to grow and continue to grow, but you also fail to be a light, because every time we stick with things that we believe are wrong, and we fellowship with what seems to oppose what the scripture says, then we give approval to those things when we fellowship with them. Not that they come over and you spend a couple of hours and you say, hey, we love you. But if you continually fellowship with them, yeah, let's go out, yeah, let's do this, then you are letting them know they're totally acceptable. So when things don't honor the Lord and we're growing in the Lord, there's a separation that can take place. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through chapter 7, verse 1 say this: do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Because see, that's the only place holiness exists, is in the fear or respect or reverence or awe of God. We have no holiness on our own. We can't be set apart for God if we're not totally in for God. if we're not doing the things that God would have us do, if we're not available when he says, I'm not busy, I got a lot of time on my hands. Well, yes, but I'm cleansing you because I want to pick you up later and I'm going to use you for something. But if you're never on the table, if you're never available, you're not rested up and you're not cleansed, no wonder I can never use you. Because there are times where he does lead us by still waters. All that time we have on our hands. Well, think about firemen or policemen. I know some have complained about the donut shop. You know, cops were known for being at the donut shop. Man, they don't do anything at the donut shop. Or firemen, all they do is sit on their lazy boy at the firehouse eating food. They learn to cook. Well, you know what? That's one perspective. But the truth is, part of their job is availability when tragedy strikes or when the need arises. So that's part of their job, is being available. If they were always busy at training, wore out, tired, because we want them to work for that tax money, then the time we really need them for what they're supposed to be there for, they would not be able to be there. And guess what, Christians? This is what's happening to us. We're not rested. We're so busy. We're not Christ-centered. And when the world needs us, we're not there. Oh, we've got the casual scriptures that we know and we memorize. And I heard this teacher say it today and I got some nice quip. But look, what's going on is not transformation in the world. They're not being transformed by what we're doing. There's something missing. And it's that somehow I think we're not avoiding the night. We're involved in things that have nothing to do with the light. As lights, our existence, Jesus didn't take us away so that we could help others see Christ. So that by our life, we could give them a thirst for the things that are right and true. So that by our life, they might experience something called conviction, because the light exposes darkness. See, unsaved people are blinded by Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. It's like the light will shine, but he has put stuff in their way, whether they be activities, anything, as long as they don't see the light. And he shields them so that they cannot see it. As I mentioned earlier, darkness doesn't really exist. Darkness is simply the absence of light. You don't add darkness to anything. You create darkness by removing light. And so as Christians, we need to let our light so shine. Light reveals God, that he is. Light produces fruit in our life, fruit that they get to see and taste. But it also exposes what is wrong. Verse 11 says, but rather expose them. Light reveals the truth, which exposes the character of something. This is why the unsaved person, or the person who doesn't want to grow in the Lord, they want to do what they want to do. They don't like exposure to that which might bring more conviction. So they may stay away from certain people, or they may stay away from certain, or church altogether, or the Bible altogether, because these things might reveal things they already know and don't want to deal with.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's continuing study through the book of Ephesians. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about Building on the Solid Rock, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And you'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God's hand in your life, and that you embrace his blessings and grace in each moment of your day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Ephesians, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow.